God himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in a cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now this is a very common verse, source of text in 1 Thessalonians that often been used. Let's go to the second text of scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? First of all, a few things that we want to clear up first. The thing about when we use the word rapture is not in the Bible, we all know, it means ecstasy, ecstatic feeling. Something that you get enjoyed, you know. You see, like going on a roller coaster, you go down, whoo, you get that kind of feeling, you know. And of course, it's actually the word that we should be using from the Bible is translation. Translation. Alright? Now the thing is that we want to ask this question, will this event of what is mentioned here, will it take place before tribulation, or will it take place after tribulation? There is no scripture here in the Bible that specifically tells you when and where. Precisely. But again, when we study a scripture, we know a little here, a little there, we can understand it. We all know it well already. The other thing is that for those who believe in post-tribulation, that is to say, they believe that the rapture is going to take place. Now we have altogether a history of 6,000 years. We have 2,000 years, and then we still have 1,000 years ahead of us, which represents the reign of Christ. Now, when we talk about post-tribulation, we have this church age, 2,000 years, and we are somewhere here. Then we have 7 years that is left when God dealt with the Jews. And in these 7 years, there is, of course, a demarcation of 3.5, 3.5. So now, for those who believe that this period, well, they call this period here, tribulation, the great tribulation. But it is not so. We know that the tribulation is only 3.5 years, which is in the midst of the 70th week of Daniel. 70th week. Alright? So when we look at this, then we realize that the Great Tribulation is only this last 3.5 years. Before the Battle of Armageddon takes place. So when we look at it, for those who believe that the rapture is going to take place after the tribulation is over, that they call it the pre-rapture, post-tribulation rapture. Pre-rapture is that when God poured out His wrath upon this 3.5 year period, the rapture can take place right over here. They call it mid-tribulation. Alright? Or completely no rapture at all, until Christ come in the battle of Armageddon. Now, some of this theory, when you look at it together, you find that many scripture does not make sense. Because Christ cannot come back at the same time the church is raptured up. But some believe that when Christ come in the White House, coming to Mount Sinai, at the end of the 7 years, the saint is caught up together and meet him there. Now, there's a lot of things that will be messed up from any scripture point of view. Okay? But the other one is what we call the mid-tribulation rapture. Is that in the middle of the 70th week, that is after the first 2.5 years, but which first 2.5 years was not even a tribulation. It was actually a sense of false peace. Alright? And then in the middle of the 70th week, after 2.5 years, the Antichrist will break the covenant and kill the two witnesses. But the other trouble is some people don't believe that those two witnesses is in that period. So, no matter how they try to bring scripture in, if they don't fit it right, you will have a problem. Now the thing is this is, people who believe that the church go through the tribulation of 2.5 years or this 7-year period, whether they accept it as 7 years or just 2.5 years, if they believe in that, the reason they believe in it, they ask this question, why are we people in this 20th century or now 21st century so special that we just get up and go? Why has millions of Christians in the dark ages were sent to their death? Is that right? They were tortured, cast into the arena of lions and bear, be torn to pieces. They have gone through tribulation. They've gone through great tribulation and died for their faith as martyrs. So what's special about you and me? So that is one of the reasons why that theory comes out. Now, we look at some other verses of scripture now. The book of Matthew 24. Now you have to turn to your scripture now. Matthew 24. Verse 21. For then there shall be great tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Alright, so this is one of the things here that is taken, the verse that is taken up here, misapplied text, by taking these two verses of what Jesus said, and think that the church will go through tribulation. Then John 17:15. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Again, these verses in John 17:15 has been also been taken out of context. Saying that I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. They think, they interpret that Jesus is praying to God, just don't remove them from the world, let them go through the pain and the suffering and the wrath. This is not what he meant here. What we meant actually here is, brothers and sisters, all Christians are born again people who are born into this world. But just because we are Christian, doesn't mean that we have to be taken out of this world not to suffer the pain in our daily life. Now when we go through a life problem, afflictions or disease or whatever we have, people, most of us will say, oh Lord, I'm suffering. Huh? Sometimes they say, oh, take me home, Lord, take me home. And sometimes we even pray for those who are suffering so badly. So, oh Lord, won't you take him home? You know what I mean? So it is this kind of condition that, you know, Jesus said to the Father, I pray that you should not just take them out of the world, but you just keep them from the evil one. We are going through a lot of trials and tribulation. And we only ask God for strength. You understand? That the evil one will not destroy us and cause us to lose our faith. So many times verses like this have been taken out of context. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when His glory is with you, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. So again, this has been taken out of context. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On your part, he is blasphemed. But on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matter. If anyone suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. But let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for the judgment to begin in the house of God. It begins with us first. What will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where would the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator. You know, this suffering, of course, is just part and parcel of our Christian testimony and living for Christ. Some people ridicule us. You have heard testimony. Man who have no job is a Christian. Even sibling, brother and sister, uncle will even make fun of him. Oh, if Jesus Christ is real, why did he give you a job? I have a brother-in-law who ridiculed me many times like this, making fun of me in many ways. You know? And that is what Jesus talked about here. If you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed. Let him glorify God in this matter. God may even not give you a job for a long time. And people ridicule you for a long time. Even like the song that sing about a farmer who stand up there who's been sowing for years. And you look at all the other neighboring farm. They all got their wheat, their harvest. And he got nothing. Nothing seemed to happen in the field. But he says, well, maybe next year it comes better harvest. And so next year came. And next year, he had a good harvest. But all the time while he had no harvest, the farmer were looking at him and making fun of him. You see. But when God gave him the harvest, you know what? He got more than all the other farmers around. So just imagine this thing. We cannot simply take our words of scripture and then misapply it. Alright? Now, the post-tribulation people who believe that the church go through the tribulation, you know what? If the church go through tribulation, it takes the bride to a stage of being abused, so to speak, by God. If you go to the book of Matthew chapter 3, verse 7, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Broods of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" This is just a statement against the Pharisees who have asked you to flee from the wrath of God to come. What is the wrath of God? That is one thing about the wrath. W-R-A-T-H. You know what a wrath is? The wrath of God. The anger of God. It's different from talking about your going through a period of trial. You know, when we talk about trial and tribulation, is things that happen to us every day. We're not talking about the great tribulation. Would any sane man subject the son's bride to his wrath when he pour out the wrath to judge the world? And we know that God is going to pour out his wrath to judge the world, and which is at the second half of the 70th week of Daniel. The 2.5 year period is God's wrath. Because he is the reason God will judge the world and Israel will, this is known as Jacob's trouble. For Israel has spurned God for so long. That's why sometimes you think about it, God has chosen the children of Israel as a nation of people. As a nation of people, not as a brother. As a nation of people. They have seen the prophet, they have the law, they have oracles, they have everything. And yet, They spurned God many times. Backslidden, murmured against God. And God was so tired of them. Alright. Put them aside and go to the Gentile and take a bride. Now when we look at it, we realize that when God dealt with Israel, He dealt them as a nation of people. But when God dealt with the bride, the church, you know the church? He's not dealing with them as a nation. He's dealing with them as a people, a holy nation of people, a sanctified people, make up of Chinese, Indian, whatever race on earth. But the Jews are plain Jews. They are a nation of people who came from the lineage of Isaac. Do you see the difference now? So in dealing with children of Israel, God gave them 70 weeks. 69 have already been passed, left the 1 week left, which is 7 years, which is still ahead of us. But God, when He deals with the bride, He's not going to put the bride into a period of His wrath. You understand that? But when God pour out His wrath upon this earth, even Israel will be protected. Remember, the earth will swallow them up. And there will be sending two wings of a great eagle to feed them. The gospel of the two prophets, 144,000, will feed them. So when you look and see, therefore, the church, in any sense of the word, cannot go through the wrath of God. Alright? Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. You know, I believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. I believe before the rapture ever can take place. I mean, before the wrath can ever take place, all the tribulation come into focus, the church will have to go. The reason with it is very obvious. We see types and shadows in the scriptures. Alright? And also from the events of the book of Daniel, the book of Revelation. And also the fact is that the Bible said that Jesus prayed early on, we read in the text, that they are not of this world. As Jesus said, as I'm not of this world, neither are they of this world. You understand that? We're only passing through. You see, just like Lot and his family, they were in Sodom and Gomorrah. But in fact, they weren't really passing through, actually. Lot made a very big mistake thinking that was a place to live. But God sent an angel and get them out. There's no place for you. That's the world. That's known as the world, Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's why even Israel today, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, just like Egypt today. And so the whole world attention was turned to the Middle East when God's final showdown comes. But yet the world today, the world looks kind of okay. Everybody's doing fine, except for some troublemaker like the Kim Jong, whatever his name is, the Kim over in North Korea, firing up some missile and cause some headache to some countries. And a Hamas, Palestinian kidnapper, Jewish soldiers, and the Israelites, they will not allow any of the soldier men, to be captured in this manner and not do anything. They prize every soldier. Israelis prize every soldier as very important. There are men that stand for a country. They will defend the country. And so they will have to go get him back. And so the war looks like, well, everything, just a little war here, just a little war there, no problem. But once it starts to escalate, then probably that's a good sign for us too. Alright? So now when we look at Daniel chapter 12 verse 2. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, when we look at this, we look at types and shadows. People in the Old Testament, in the early part of the Old Testament, when Moses came and wrote those five books, and a little bit later on, you know, the Jew, when they look at that, they think that, yeah, God promised a Messiah. God promised them a Messiah. So they think that when the Messiah comes, he will become king and Messiah at the same time. So they only understood that there is only one coming. So in the later part, only in the Old Testament, as we begin to read it, then we realize actually Isaiah talks about two comings. You know what I mean? First, he will come as a Messiah to die for their sin. Then he will come as king. You know, but many Jews, even at the time when it was fulfilled, did not recognize that it was actually two coming. That when Christ came at that time, he was coming as a Messiah to die. Not as Messiah the king as yet. You see. So the same thing when we look at this rapture thing, this translation. Rapture is also a resurrection. Is there only just to be one resurrection, or are there going to be two or more? So in this book of Daniel chapter 12 verse 2 says, it looks like, well, it's like, many of those sin and dies of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And there are even teachers today, but theologians believe that there is only one, and it all takes place at the great white throne judgment. Huh? That everyone will rise up. And some even to that extent have even some believe in a message too. That believe that when Jesus said in that book of Matthew, where the Son of Man shall come in His glory and sit upon His throne of glory and shall divide the sheep, the people, as a shepherd divide the sheep from the goat. So they think that this is only one judgment. Where the sheep are the righteous ones, that the saints of God, the gods are those who are not. They are the wicked sinners and so on. And of course, as usual, we have a lot of, it's one thing for layman who doesn't know much about the scriptures. Just like a sister Phyllis talked about a friend. The many of them, they don't read scripture, they don't understand. But it's another thing for ministers, or theologians, or preachers, denomination, church, who don't even know how to place scriptures. Put them in a proper place. Well, tradition plays a part why they can't. Alright, so let's go to John now. Chapter 5, verse 25. Again, let us look at John chapter 5, 25 down to 29 and look at the resurrection. Most assuredly, John chapter 5, verse 25. Most assuredly, I said to you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Now, this verse is not talking about the dead, eh? You understand? Most assuredly I said to you, the hour is coming, now is when the dead is not those who bury in the grave. The dead means those who are spiritually dead here. Those who are spiritually dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son to have life in Himself, and has given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice. And come forth, those who have done good, to resurrection of life, and those who have done evil, to resurrection of condemnation. Now again, when we read this verse, last verse, don't think that there is going to be one resurrection where all will rise up, and one group will enter into heaven, the other will not. This is just only a general statement. We need to understand how the rapture takes place. Alright, Acts chapter 24, verse 15. I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Now, let's go now and check up. Whether this resurrection of the righteous and the unrighteous, are they going to take place together at the same time or not? Before we can ever talk about the rapture. To make sense, understand what it's all about. Revelation chapter 20 verse 5. Revelation chapter 20 verse 5. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now, it is very clear. There is No problem for us to understand now that while we are living around this period of time, and then the rapture takes place, then you have the 7 years left. Now that Christ come, there will be 1,000 years. Then after 1,000 years, there will be another resurrection here. Now it is clear that after 1,000 years will finish, then the dead will rise up. The rest of the dead that did not come out will come out after 1,000 years. Now this is clear, right? So that there is a separation between those that are left that did not come up in the first place. So all those dead will rise up in this area. There must be resurrection that takes place somewhere before this area. The different resurrection. Alright. 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. But each one in his own order. Christ the first fruit after those that are Christ and his coming. So there must be an order of, by the way it is spoken, they are orders of resurrection. Huh? Okay? Alright, now, go to the book of Matthew, chapter 27. We are looking into the first resurrection. If this, after the 1,000 years, as you look at an understanding of the scriptures, that after 1,000 years, all the dead, they did not come out before the 1,000 year, they all will resurrect up here, in this part here. So if it is so, that means before this area here, before the 1,000 years, there must be several resurrections taken place. Because there's an order of resurrection. Everybody in their own order. That's for sure, isn't it? Because in God's geocratic rule, there are different levels of administration. God's kingdom is an echelon design. You have somebody who's right at the top, there's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And the rest of it comes down under him. The 24 elders, perhaps in their line, then you have perhaps other men of God and other prophets that come under that. And then it comes down to the base that gets bigger. You see. So therefore there must be order of resurrection. And let us look into it. Matthew 27:51. Here is the first resurrection after Christ resurrected. Matthew 27:51. Remember this, we are talking about the New Testament. Now we have not looked at the Old Testament resurrection or some cases there. But we are looking at Christ being the first fruit. Matthew 27:51. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earthquake and the rocks were split. And the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the grave after his resurrection, they went to the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquakes and the thing which had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. Now, when Jesus hung upon the cross, you know, after he cried out, it is finished, and yield up the ghost, there was a great earthquake. There was such a great earthquake that the veil in the temple that separated the most holy place from the holy place was ripped into two from top to bottom. Now that is a symbol to show that the way to the most holiest place, that is the way to God, is now opened. Do you understand? It's made possible by the high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose blood was shed. Do you understand that? But today, of course, some churches, like the Catholic Church, still say the only way to God is through the priest. No. The Bible said there is one mediator between God and man, between God and you. There's only one mediator. But a mediator implies a mediator of more than one. That means, sir, a person who is a mediator mediates between this one and that one. But the Bible said the mediator is a mediator of more than one, but God is one. That is, as Jesus stands, He stands in the position of God. So when you come to Him, you come straight to the Lord, God Almighty, straight away. So no man come unto the Father but by me. You understand that? God and Christ, they are one. They are not two. Don't imply two. But mediator implies two. It has to be. But God is one. Alright? So now, let us look in verse 53. It says, after the resurrection, the earthquake happened, Jesus was buried, right? Only in the third day after Jesus Christ resurrected, then those saints resurrected after He resurrected. So earthquake happened 2 days before. Then those Old Testament saints resurrected, they got up, went into the city of Jerusalem, and were witnessed by many of the saints that lived there. You see? So this is one of the phases of the resurrection. That is to say that if we were to look, we are now 2,000 years since the time that Christ died. Now, Christ died, that was this resurrection, isn't it? This is the one that we're talking about in verse 53. Alright? So this is the first resurrection. The first, we will say, the first phase of the first resurrection. What happened to these Old Testament saints when they resurrect? They cannot be resurrected in their natural physical body and go back to dust again, after they resurrect. Once you're resurrected, you don't go back in this kind of resurrection. Do you understand that? It's not calling Lazarus come forth to live again. But this is the dead that has been there for hundreds of years. They're resurrected after Christ resurrected in the same body as Christ resurrected. Do you get a point? When Lazarus was called to come out from the grave, Christ has not yet died. He had no new body as yet. So raising of Lazarus was not the same as the one you see here when the dead Old Testament saints came out of the grave. Alright, so that was the first part of resurrection, the first phase of the first resurrection. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 15, where we were looking at it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, the voice of the archangel, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, perhaps we'll take a little closer look at verses of scripture here. 1 Corinthians 4:13. Paul is saying this, I would not have you to be ignorant. Now, that's a very good thing, we don't want to be ignorant. But I would not have you be ignorant. God doesn't want us to be without any understanding. And that's why ignorant is not blessed. You know nothing means you don't know what to do. You don't know what to look forward to. Concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even at others who have no hope. You know the Pharisees do not believe in the resurrection. So they don't bother about that. But because we want to know what happened to the dead. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also them which sleep in God, in Christ, will God bring with Him. And that's one good big consolation. You believe that Jesus died and rose again? We all do. That's all we have to count on. Huh? This life is not worth the living if it wasn't for Christ. We're just like what evolutionist says. We're here by chance. And yet they want to talk about animal extinction. Try to prevent animal from extinct. And they try to prevent man from extinction. So they want to send man up to the Mars or the Venus or whatever they want to go. But well, if everything is by chance, nobody will come back again. What do you think so? You know, that's a lot of foolish thinking, you know. Alright? So now for this we send it by the word of God which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So do you understand? Shall not prevent them which are asleep. We realize one thing for truth. That no one can go, the living cannot go first and then the dead just remain. We will not prevent them from dead. Because as a body together, as a body of bright, we all come together and meet Christ. Those that are prepared to meet Him and ready to meet Him. So Paul is saying this, for the Lord Himself then shall be sent from heaven with a shout. Oh, we all know this very well. The shout, the voice of the archangel, and we have the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we are caught up with Him, with them together and meet Christ in the air. Very good. Now go to Revelation chapter 7 verse 9. After these things I look and behold a great multitude which no one could number. Revelation chapter 7 verse 9. And after this thing I look and behold a great multitude which no man could number. Of all nations, tribes, people, tongues standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands and crying out with a loud voice saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answered saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes? And where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and wash their robes and make them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will dwell with them. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. And the Lord will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is a fair fact that proves to you that there are two different groups of people that are going to go up into the resurrection, the first resurrection. This group that is mentioned here are the great tribulation. That means there is a group out of the church they will pass through. Now when we use the term church again, it has always been kind of a troublesome thing to try to figure out things. Huh? This personal friend of mine said, he said, Richard, if you believe that only a certain group of Christians will make the rapture, I said, yeah. And then the others are left behind. I said, yeah. Said, how can it make any sense that God took part of the body of Christ, maybe took the head and left the rest of the body on this earth? Well, when he talks about it, it makes sense, isn't it? Huh? But you see, the Bible, when it types and shadows, used many different symbols to show something else. When we talk at the church, for example, or we take Israel, for example, well, all Israel belongs to God, so because after all, God called Israel, isn't it? But yet the Bible said not all Israels are Israel. It means, what does that mean? I mean, how can it be? Now, we take, for example, the population of Singapore. Those who are born Singaporean. So, everyone who are born Singaporean are Singaporean. You are born in Singapore with a birth certificate. They say, born in Singapore. Ah, oh, Singaporean. Is that right? But yet we can say when it comes to a time when Singapore is to be defense, we have a lot of illegitimate born Singaporean that will not defend Singapore. So we can say not all Singaporeans are Singaporean. In that sense. Because they don't really make a stand for it. So not all Christians therefore are Christian. Even if Paul, look at Paul's epistle to Corinthians. The church was so carnal. Huh? What about, he mentions certain names, Philetus, Alexander, Hymenaeus. Someone had fallen from the faith, deceived by Nicolaitan spirit. And yet they call themselves Christian. Believers of Christ. So not all Christians are Christian. Not everybody who go to church say that they are belonging to the church. Of course, the original, the word church means, there's a word in Greek means ecclesias. Means call out. The call out. Yeah, many are called, but few are chosen. Remember that. So that's why he narrows down what Paul said, make this one big, strong, beautiful statement. He says, I espoused you as a chaste virgin. Now, Paul can stand on there and speak to maybe 1,000 believers, huh? But not all 1,000 hear the word 1,001, maybe that's 1,001 who heard it. I'm a bride. Just because you hear what Paul said doesn't mean that you're a bride. Do you see that? You understand? So when you use the bride, that means there is a group that is exclusively drawn to form that true body of Christ. Not the call out in a general term. For many are called, but few are chosen. Now we can ask in a congregation like this, you believe in Christ, you believe in Christ, say, yes, amen, 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 amen. You baptize, amen, 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 amen. Everyone got baptized. Fine, that's good. But when it comes to a true test, when God looks into your heart, He will know whether you are or not. Isn't that right? So we can put on a good face, go to church every Sunday, you know, and we'll be, how are you, brother? We all feel very happy, huh? Look like, oh, we are really loving the Lord. But only God knows your heart. And God is, all of this God is taking the people, you understand that, to bring about these things. Alright now, in the book of Revelation chapter 20 verse 4. Here we read early on in verse 5, but read verse 4. The very fact here shows us that there are two groups of people. One, where we read just now in Revelation 7, the tribulation saints. Here in Revelation chapter 20 verse 4, and I saw thrones and them that sit on them, and there they sit on them, and judgment was committed to them. And I saw the souls of those who have been beheaded for their witness to Christ Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their forehead or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. No, it's clear that we have two groups of people. Here we have thrones where a certain group of people sit upon their throne. And judgment were given to these that sit on the throne to judge those that stand before the throne who have their head cut off. And those who are head cut off are those who come out from the tribulation. So now we have two different groups. The Bible clearly shows that. Now, you see, the problem is that my Presbyterian friend couldn't believe it. I said, look at it carefully. But to him, Revelation chapter 7 about the great tribulation saying, he finally said, oh, I think we all Christians will have to go through the tribulation. And I think maybe he's believing it now. Let me ask you a question that's been asked. And I think it's very easy to it's commonly asked. Let me ask you one question now. Look at me. How many of you believe that you make a rapture? Simple confession, huh? I know fast enough to say amen. Or you think that, I don't know. It's a question, you know. But again, you know, sometimes I go and say, but again, I don't know whether I make the rapture or not. It's very simple. If you make a confession, why do I confess what I confess and preach and confess and preach what I believe? Because what you ingrained into your life. Huh? Are you a Christian?
I don't know. Maybe what you say?
I think so, yeah. You know, when people ask, are you a Christian? You take 10 seconds for you to say yes. Are you a Christian? Yes. And it's very strange, you know. Are you a Singaporean? Oh, yes. Are you a Chinese? Oh, yes. Are you Indian? Yes. Are you a Christian? It takes so long for you to. Why? You know, confession is important. So why is testimony important? If God, Christ is real, everything is real, the word is real, you have to confess it. The Bible says with the mouth you make your confession is not just salvation. If you say, I make the rapture, you know what? You work it out. According to the word of God, you have to follow. Sure. We are not working out just to follow everything religiously. You know what I'm talking about? That means working out means to say, we always examine ourselves when we walk in the light. That's what Paul said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, whether you're living according to the light, because that's what testifies that you are. I'm a Christian. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Then you start smoking away, you know, you go out to the disco, you act, don't know, like what, you maybe this football, World Cup now, tomorrow, tonight, or tomorrow now, this morning, or tomorrow morning, it's the final, you know. And you can see, I heard that they were trying to get taxi the other day when they were having a, semi-final. They couldn't find a taxi. Well, what happened to our taxi man? Well, I was talking about it. Well, what happened to the taxi man? They were gambling. They were watching the football at Kopitiam. You see? So your attitude towards your faith to the Word of God is what you are. Huh? Are you a Christian? Let's say fast a bit. So, you know, we have to make sure that we know what we believe in, brothers and sisters. Because we're going to be tested. Yes, it's going to be very hard. It's going to be tested. Now, Brosu is being tested now. We go through a process of time. I know what herpes is like. I had a full-blown herpes across my mouth. You know, not knowing what it was. And the pain that goes along with it. And it's incurable. You know. I groan and suffer and I complain to the Lord, you know. Sure, go. Talk to the Lord and complain to Him a bit. We all have the right to go and talk to our Father. He's not going to keep you away. He understands you. You get all upset, He understands you. But the question is, are we going to talk to Him? You know what I'm saying? You know, like some people say, if you care, you care. You don't care, don't care. You know what I'm talking about? God knows everything, yeah, but our attitude. Our attitude is what we want. We must approach Him, but the Bible says, knock, and it shall be open. Ask, and you shall receive. Is that right? If you don't seek, we will not find. That's why I said many times, your compassion is very important. God has done something for you, testify it. Give your testimony. You will seal it. Got it? Yes. Alright. Genesis. Now here we look at the types and the shadows now. There are two men at least, Enoch. In Genesis chapter 5 verse 22, 23, 24. And after he begat Methuselah, you know, walked with God 300 years and begat sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And he didn't walk with God. And he was not, for God took him. But that was an example of a translation. Huh? He didn't walk with God, and God took him. And I said this one many times, and you know, you want to be able to metamorphosize, being translated, being changed, you have to walk with God. You just have to walk with God. No matter how hard it is. You know, nowadays on television you have this Oprah Winfrey coming on the air pretty often in the morning and night. So once a while, I don't know what's so great about Oprah Winfrey, but there seemed to be a lot of that on the TV, so I took my chance to look at what's going on. And it seemed that she had done much good to a lot of people. You know? And if a woman like this can do so much for the people of America generally, not spiritually, bring benefit to many thousands of people, what is our life worth? Can our life be a blessing to many, many people too, as well? You see, spiritually, it's very important to be a witness. And here was Enoch, walked with God, and he was not. He walked with God daily, 365 days. 2 Kings, chapter 2. Well, here we all know about Elisha. Huh? The story of Elisha, chapter 2, 2 Kings, chapter 2, verse 1 onward, when it came to pass, when the Lord took up Elijah to heaven by the whirlwind, and Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And now the thing is, Elijah said to Elisha, tarry here while I pray, for the Lord would send me to battle. And Elijah said to him, as the Lord lives and as my soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that went, they were at Bethel, came forth to Elisha and said unto him, know you not that the Lord will take away your master from thy head today? And he said, yeah, I know it, just hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, no, as the Lord live and as thy soul live, I will not leave thee. So they went to Jericho. And again, some of the prophet, sons of the prophet came and said to Elisha, you know, the Lord is going to take a master from your head today. And Elisha said, I know about it, you just hold your peace. Elijah said unto him again, Elisha said, okay, pray, you tarry here, the Lord want me to go to Jordan. And Elisha said, well, the Lord live as thy soul live, I will not leave thee. And the two went on. And the 50 men of the son of the prophet went and stood to view afar off, and the two stood by Jordan. They all know something is going to happen. Elijah took his mantle, rubbed it together, and smoked the water. And they were dividing hither and thither, so that the two went over on dry land. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee, before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast ask a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. So Elisha keep his eye on Elijah. Because he asked, but then he's going to see him, so he's going to get his double portion. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, and horses of fire, and parted from both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha sent and cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them into pieces. And that's a very interesting thing. Enoch knew when he was going. Doesn't take him by surprise. He walked with God daily. Elisha knew that Elijah was going, and he's going to get his double portion. He knew that God is going to take him. And even the sons of the prophet knew something is going to happen. Huh? When he asked Elijah for what he wanted, a double portion, Elijah said, yes, a very hard thing for you to ask. Nevertheless, if you see me go, you get it. So what are you going to do? What do you think Elijah is? Watch his master wherever you go closely. You know. He's going to turn his back and suddenly he's gone, and then he didn't say it. He gets nothing. If put your eye on the promises of God's word. Huh? Focus our eye on His word. It's going to come to pass. And we know the hour and the time, just like Elijah. Isn't it? Alright, in Jude chapter 1 verse 14. Here, of course, we also know the type and the shadows. And you know also the seven from Adam prophesied of this saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodlily committed. and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speak great swelling words, having man's person in admiration because of advantage. Enoch, being a servant from Adam, you know what? We are living in a seventh church age. You know what's the type of what's going to happen? There will be a translation, so to speak. Hebrews chapter 5, chapter 11, verse 5. Here we have chapter 11, verse 5 of Hebrew. By revelation, faith, which is faith, or faith by faith, that is revelation, that is, we got to receive it. Enoch knew what was happening. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, when we please God, there will come a time God will let us know, hey, you are going to go. And that's why I'm saying this. You think the world is going to go? You think the churches is going to go into the rapture? And that's why he says, is the rapture true? Yes. Is the rapture true? No. Why? Already I say that. Because there are a lot of Christians that believe that every Christian, the world population of Christianity, 25 to 30%. That's a lot. And all of these, you take away all those funny little cults here and there, big cults here and there, that have all kind of strange belief, remove them all. Well, how many percent do you have? Maybe 20%? Even today, the charismatic Catholic, they all believe they are going to rapture. Walking down the street one day, will just disappear. Sitting in the MRT, will just disappear. Oh, like the movie that they have, Left Behind. Oh, everybody sing, love to sing the rapture song. You all love to sing the rapture song, wouldn't it? The coming of the Lord will be cut away in the twinkling of an eye. Yes, we love that. You see. But the fact is that if you don't have the revelation, don't have the faith like Enoch, how could you be translated? How could you be taken away? The Bible actually says that by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, before he's raptured, before he was raptured, he has this testimony that he pleased God. How do you please God? Oh, make sure you come to church every Sunday. Make sure you give your tithes. Huh? Make sure you say your prayer. Make sure you read your Bible. No, that's not things like this. Pleasing God is to walk in His word. Remember Peter out there on the boat with the disciple, and Jesus came walking in the water. Ready, O Lord? Say yes. Can they be come? Jesus says, come. Oh, just one word. Come. I mean, after all, Peter says, if He's Lord, let me come. Wow. You asked for it. Now Jesus says, come! Peter stood up. Maybe just a Timothy don't get all of it jitter, huh? Don't know whether to walk or not to walk it out of the boat. Everybody, when we are tested, we get a bit nervous, don't we? Yes or no? You know, I don't even know what I'm going to face when I go overseas. You know? There all comes a time when God's going to present something. But Peter went out the boat and stepped. He walked not on the water, but he walked on the word. Peter was not walking on the water. People tell you people was walking on the water. He was walking on the word of God. You understand? Because Jesus come. Jesus did not even say the word come. Do you think Peter can get out of water? Hey, Jesus, I'm coming up to you. He'll step out of the boat and go into the water. You see. And the moment Peter's eyes focused around what was going on, he sinked. That's how when we walk with the Lord, you don't walk with the Lord, you walk on the word of God, you walk with God, you walk on His word, His promise, and everything that God showed to him. That's what He mean by walk. And that's why, as I said, it's come to place that there's going to be an element of people, brothers and sisters, you know, I'm getting so excited. There's going to be a time when this bride of Christ, by God's almighty hand, when He comes down in the final move, that your faith will be lifted so high that you have such a revival you have never experienced before. That's going to take your faith up. Because the Bible says, how are we going to go in the rapture when you don't even have faith to be healed? And so, why do we preach the word? Paul told Timothy, preach the word in season and out of season. Preach it. People need to get the word and keep on hearing, bathe and shower in the word, immerse in the word. So they can understand, can see. So when the word comes, they will not pass it by. Yes, and you understand that? Alright. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, again we go to that. Now look at it here now. Chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Now, we all know this, with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God. Now, we all have this chart that we are aware of. We have seen this. But we're not going to talk about this. But you know that let's get into a closer view. Now, here we have the home of the bride. Which of course this crowd here means, well, it's in heaven. Okay? Then we have one of these, they believe that the Lord is going to come and catch us away. But the process of the Lord coming and catch us away, we know that there must be something that stirs up the bride. And of course we call it the shout. So we have the shout here. Right? The Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout. Everybody knows this. It's a message of Brother Branham. We're all well acquainted with that. Now if we want not to look at this, we just go back to that verse again. The Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel. Now, what I'm going to ask is, what is the voice of the archangel? And then, with the trump of God, what is this trump of God? I have heard it often, as I said, if we don't take our bearing, we will have nothing to understand. I've heard it preached time and again by ministers in end-time message. When you talk about the rapture, they say, yes, we are living in times like this. Signs all around us telling us that the coming is of the Lord draweth nigh. Yes, we all know it. We hear wars and rumors of war, earthquake in diverse places. Yes, we know it. It is here. False Christ and false prophet on the scene. Yes, we know it is here. Is that right? We have some many signs, multiple of signs telling us that there is coming this rapture. Are you ready? Of course. That's being preached often like this. And then the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout. That denomination said there will be a voice shouting from heaven. But now we know better. Now the people who follow the message of Brother Abraham knows better that it is the message. Why? Because Abraham said so. Again, when you come to the same point, Abraham said so. Okay now, Abraham did not say anything else. But he says, with the voice of the archangel. And Abraham says about the dead in Christ will rise up. With the voice of the archangel. And they will just repeat as it is, and say that's what happened. But let's have a look a little closer to understand something. If you look at the verse, alright, look at the verse. If the shout, as says, we know, is the message. And it is said that the shout called forth a living people who can hear the message. So, the message of Balaam was given to us, or the seven angels' message. But the voice of the archangels is the voice of Jesus Christ to the dead in the grave to bring them up. Okay, assuming that that is what it is. Then the last trump, whatever that is, we are all put together into the air. Now, let us look at 1 Corinthians here. Alright. Let us look at 1 Corinthians. Chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I'll show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all be changed. In a moment, a twinkling of an eye. Now, this twinkling of an eye. In a twinkling of an eye. Yeah, of course, we see the denomination. You walk down the street one day, just you disappear. Correct? I don't know about this movie called Left Behind. I thought it was shown last year or something in some theater in Singapore. But apparently it doesn't seem to be around. It's about a movie made a book written by, I think, Hale Lindsey. Left Behind. And it shows people disappearing from the streets, from the train, from the car, from the airplane. And plane crash, and the train crash, and car crash, and very dramatic. And then some husband or some wife wake up in the morning, hey honey, where are you? No, on the bed, where are you? Two on the bed, one taken, one left behind. Two farmer working in the field, one taken, one left behind. Four in the office working, two taken, two left behind. Things like that happen. As the story goes, that's what they dramatize. In the moment of twinkling of an eye, they think that. But this, in the moment of twinkling of an eye, is not the rapture, positioned at the beginning as what we know, is positioned at the last when the body is changed. Okay, now look at it. In a moment of twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. So if you go to 1 Thessalonians, there is a trump of God. Is that alright? Huh? There's a trump of God. So only at the last trump, Jesus said there are going to be three phases of God ministration to the saints. And this is all about the living saints, it's not about the dead saints. The show is to the living saints, the voice of the archangel is also to the living saints. The voice of the shout is to the living saints. The voice of the archangel is to the living saints. The trump is also to the living saints. It's only after the trump is finished, then the dead in Christ rise. The Bible tells the truth here. Isn't it? At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall rise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. He said at the last trump. So if you were to say that the shout is for us, the voice of the archangels that raise the dead saints, then the trump does not raise the dead saints. It's the voice that raises the dead saints. So what do you have after the trump? Then the dead saints rise up. Are you following me? Karana, you following me? Now when the minister don't want to go into the Word of God and speak what the Bible said, it's shame on you, preachers out there. I want to speak, oh, that's what Billy Graham said. I want to speak what Brother Graham said. I want to speak what, who is this great guy that we saw in the Strong Delusion? Huh? Benny Hinn say. Okay, I will speak what Benny Hinn say. I will say what the Pope say. What do you want to say what the Pope say? What do you want to say what so-and-so say? Say what the Scripture say! Men make mistakes. But not God. We don't have to be ashamed writing dividing the word of truth. Do we? No, we don't have to be ashamed. And the Bible is clear on this. The shout is a message that goes out to prepare the people. Matthew 25, remember the ten virgins. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, come out to meet him now. Don't stand in denomination, get out. Come out and hold my people. That's what the message is all about. Now you come right in, the voice of archangel now is making himself known to you. That's what we call a marriage right here, wedding right here. We are feasting. We are in a marriage feast. Between the bridegroom and the bride, getting close together is spiritual wedlock. It's about the living. The voice of the archangel is not to the dead, it's to the living. Yeah, but Brother Abraham said so. Let me tell you this story in 1 Kings chapter 13. You read about 1 Kings chapter 13? Here was this man of God. Told to go up there. To battle. He says, when you go up there, you know, you do this mission for me. But when you go, don't come back the same way. When you go, don't eat there. Don't drink there. Okay, Lord. He went. Did everything. Came back. Another way. And then the sons of an old prophet came to tell his father, you know, the man of God was right there. Who met him. All right. Okay, let me go see him. And the old prophet came out to the man of God. Said, come and eat with me. And the man of God says, no, I can't. I'm not supposed to. Oh, but you know what? The old prophet says, but an angel of the Lord told me, I'm also like you, a prophet of God. But an angel of God also told me to bring you back, to have some meals with me. So the man of God went back there, eat at the table of the old prophet. And the old prophet stood up and prophesied. Your carcass shall lay with your fathers in the sarcophagus. Your carcass will lay with your father. The man of God paid for his price. Why? Because he said, the problem is, I'm a small fry. He's an old prophet, well known. Let's listen to him. You listen to him, and you don't listen to the word that God gave it to you, the original word. God never changed his mind about his word. He never changes my body. So when he tells you something, that's what you must do. Oh, but you know what? The old prophet lied to him. But what did he lie? You know, God has a way of dealing with people. The one that Paul says, let all men be lied, but God be the truth. God can take a brother, a sister, a preacher to say something that is a lie, to test you. God permitted for his God. Huh? Isn't it? If you don't know how to listen to the word of God, take heed what you hear. Take heed what you hear. Unless a man eat my flesh and drink my blood, he have no eternal life. Take heed what you hear. Oh, Jesus lied to me. I couldn't find his flesh. I couldn't find his blood in the sepulchres. He was already gone. How am I going to eat him? How am I going to drink his blood? How do you hear? And if the man of God were to listen to the old man, old prophet, when he came in time, you know, an angel told me to come with me. And the man of God said, oh, is that so? Well, you can go and I'll just stay here. Thank you very much. Because you see, God never changed his mind about his word. If he told the man of God not to do that, if God changed his mind, God would have to come back to the original and talk to him. Got it? He will not send a third party to come tell him. You see. And even the old prophet didn't even give him a test of the Lord. You wonder. Wonder even the keys of scripture here, people don't learn. What is the original word of God? What is the original word of God? Word that was spoken before the foundation of the world, is that right? Huh? That's the original word of God. And that word of God is now put in scriptures right here. So can God change his mind about his word? He can't. He maintained it here. Whether any prophet, whatever he spoke, if it's not here, it's not here. As simple as that. So what's the truth about the rapture? The fact is this. We have the message, the shout. Yes, we thank God for it. That's the shout. We have it. Now we are all walking in this message in the word of God, right? We're now hearing the voice of the archangel. We are now getting more intimate with the Lord. Amen? But don't tell me one of these days, brother and sister, you're walking down the road, are you in a bus or MRT train, and suddenly going to disappear. That's not going to happen. That's a fallacy. That's not going to happen like that yet. You see, why? There's going to come a revival. And this we know. But God to be because of the type and shadow the Bible shows. And what Abraham said was true. How can we go up in the rapture when we don't even have faith to be healed? That's what the prophet God said, wait, you're going to take the voice of those seven thunders to wake up the bride. And when they hear those voices, what the prophet says, they know the bride, the little group will know how to hold it there. Something is going to happen because those are spoken words. You have heard the word? Behold, the bridegroom cometh, come out to meet him. That's spoken word. Now, the voice of the archangel is speaking to the fivefold ministry. Spoken word. Then will come the seven thunder. Spoken word. Hard to believe. Hard to believe. What is it so hard to believe? I believe what Sister Phyllis talked about, the testimony of a man who had no money, wanted to travel, wanted to witness for the Lord. He got cut away in the Philip transport. Is that hard to believe? No. You have not seen things happen in many countries. Where God is able to take one man from one place to another. Only that you don't know it. If it happened once in the Bible, it will happen a second time. If it happened a second time, it will happen a third time. Hard to believe. Man can raise up, a man can, man like Lazarus can walk, rise up from his death, and walk again. Man like Peter can walk on water. You think that it's not possible for a man to walk on water? When God has desired for the man to do a certain thing, for a certain purpose? Is it so hard for the man to be transported from one country to another one country? But God will do it according to His will, for His own glory. When the need arises, He will do it. And when the time comes for the saints to go, when everything is ready, when the bride has made herself ready, then you know what will happen? Then that's when the thunder will sound, will come forth and utter the last trump, and cause us to have our revival. And that's why this body will have to be changed. This body must put on wellness, health. And having the revival is over, that's when a moment in the twinkling of an eye, God will tell you when to go. And we will walk out of this earth. And the world will continue. It won't be 20% of the people in the world that will disappear. It won't be 20%. It will not even be 10%. Huh? Singapore population is 4 million. 1 million or certainly less than 1 million, maybe 800,000. Call themselves Christian. It will not be 100,000 they're going to go out in the rapture. It will not even be 100,000 they will go out in the rapture. Mind you, it will not even be 10,000 they will go out in the rapture. Because there's only one Enoch out of millions. Huh? There are two spies out of how many million? 2 million. See? There's only one Elijah. They're going to be a fraction of people. The people that walk with God, like Enoch walk with God. That's the truth about the rapture. It will not be something like people going up just because you're a Christian. Or just because you believe Malachi 4, 5 and 6. It is not. Be like Enoch. Be like Enoch. Huh? Not just claim Malachi 4, 5, and 6. That's what you have. We'll not see you through. But it's the word that will see you through. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for your grace for us. We know, Father, the word is so true that few, O Lord, will have a ear to hear, to hearken to what you say. But we know, Lord, the word is certain that there is going to be a little bride You always call them your people, little flock. And this little flock, they are the one, Lord, that find grace in your eyes, find favor in your eyes, that you are willing to just bless them, to have a special place in your kingdom. So Lord, as such, we pray, every one of us here, Father, in this fellowship, may we keep ourselves walking in the light of your word. If we should go astray to the left, or to the side of the, or to the right side of the road, while we know there's a lot of garbage, a lot of trash are collected, we ask you, the Father, you just tear us back onto the center of the highway. And help us to fix our eye on the goal and walk in the thin line of God's precious truth. Oh, that we be all be like Enoch. Please God, walk with God upon the promises of God's word, upon the very truth of God's word, to live that life for you. So one of these days, Lord, we will always be with you then. When it comes that time for us to go, we are very thankful, Father, for your truth. Keep us, Lord. Help us to walk then. Your grace with us in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.